Today we are going to be reading portions of the prophecy that a man named Hosea spoke to the kings and the people of the north and of the south. We are reading the prophet Hosea today. We're going to read chapters 1 and chapter 3. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. And in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go, take to yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom. For the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord." So Hosea went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to him, "Call his name Jezreel, for in just a little while I will punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel. And I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. And on that day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." Gomer conceived again and bore a daughter. And the Lord said to Hosea, "Call her name No Mercy. For I will no more have mercy on the house of Israel to forgive them at all. But I will have mercy on the house of Judah, and I will save them by their Lord, by the Lord their God. I will not save them by bow or sword or by war or by horses or by horsemen." When she had weaned No Mercy, she conceived and bore a son. And the Lord said, "Call his name Not My People, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And in the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' it shall be said to them, 'Children of the living God.' And the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together, and they shall appoint for themselves one head. And they shall go up from the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel." And the Lord said to me, "Go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisins." So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a lethek of barley. And I say to her, "You must dwell as mine for many days. You shall not play the whore or belong to another man. So will I also be to you. For the children of Israel shall dwell many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or pillar, without ephod or household gods. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God, and David their king. And they shall come in fear to the Lord and to his goodness in the latter days." I want to begin by giving a shout out to Bruce Van Wyk and his wife, who are here this morning. I met these wonderful people in their hometown of Colorado Springs. And I was visiting the city, and I got to the airport where they were picking me up. And while I was in the airport waiting for them, I decided to go outside for a walk. I had flown in from California, where it was very, very hot. But when I arrived in Colorado Springs, I assumed that it would be similarly hot, and so I went out into the outdoors and wanted to go for a walk. I lasted 3 seconds outside because a cold and freezing draft of air was blasted into my face, and I knew I was no longer in the warm heart of Africa. And so I hurried back into the airport where it was much warmer. I woke up this morning for some reason thinking that it was going to be snowing and freezing. And so I put on my jacket and I put on my glove because it snows regularly here in Lilongwe. And as I walked up to the front, I saw some judgmental looks from people in the audience because I could tell what you were thinking. You look ridiculous. What are you thinking? One glove. Where's the other glove? And so people here are dressed for warm weather. I can see that. And I look ridiculous and silly. And you are absolutely right. And so I am going to take a few moments to end my own suffering and take off this ridiculous jacket because it is getting hot in here. And this is what the Lord says. It's easy to see how ridiculous somebody's winter clothes are in warm weather. It's easy to see how ridiculous a person looks in a jacket when the season doesn't call for it. But if Jesus has risen, has he not forever changed the seasons of our lives? Then how is it that the jackets of your old lifestyle are still on you? You look as ridiculous to him as I look to you. This essentially is what Hosea's ministry was all about. Hosea's ministry was about showing people what they look like to God. Because sometimes we get so comfortable in our sins that telling us what we look like in those sins doesn't cut it. And God has to show us. We will not see by hearing, because our hearing is gone. Our hearing has been stuffed with the wax of pride and sin. And this is the situation that Hosea found himself in. The nation of Israel in the north had so far gone into idolatry that God had determined, after examining the hearts of the people up and down that kingdom, that the only way they were going to see what their spiritual condition was really like was to no longer tell them. Because God had been telling them. Prophet after prophet, he had been saying, put away your idols. Put away your idols. And a point came when God knew that they were not hearing him anymore. And God had to show them what their idolatry made them look like. And so he says to Hosea, Hosea, you're going to be my guinea pig. I want to show the people of Israel exactly what they look like when they are worshiping other gods. And I want them to see and feel what I feel like when I see them like that. So Hosea, go and marry a woman who is in prostitution. Go over there on Bandilo Street and pick yourself a wife. And Hosea went and found Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and married her. And they had children. And God said, I'm going to name the children myself. Tell grandma to go home. I am doing the naming rights on this one. The first one, you are to call him Jezreel, because I remember the bloodshed the Israelites committed in the valley of Jezreel, and I have come to hold them accountable. The second one, you are to call him No Mercy. No Mercy. Because the extended hand of mercy will be withdrawn. And I am sending another nation to come and take the children of Israel captive. And that nation was the empire of the Assyrians. The Assyrians were merciless and brutal. Their capital was over there in Nineveh. When the Assyrians invaded your country and took you captive, they used to do this cruel thing where they would have these hooks pierced into your lip or your nose. And then they would attach a chain to the hook. And then the chain would go to the next captive, probably your wife or your son. And then the chain would go into the hook in their lip. And then there would be someone riding on horseback, an Assyrian soldier. And to get you moving along, they would just pull the chain. And God said, the Assyrians are coming. And what you are going to experience under their tyranny is going to show you just how lost you are. But before that happens, I want you to look at my prophet Hosea, because he's going to show you what you look like to me. And so Hosea marries this woman. The first is Jezreel of their children. Then No Mercy comes. And then they have Not My People. God says, name this boy Not My People. Because by their behavior, they have ceased to act like my people. And so Hosea's son, poor kid, would go to kindergarten and his friends in the playground. Children belonging to Israelites who are living in adultery and idolatry and murder. These children would go around the playground, and God was forcing them to call this boy, hey, Not My People, come and play with us. Hey, Not My People, so that it would sink into them what they look like to God when they are worshiping other idols. The human heart gets so hardened by sin sometimes that God has to take a break from the ministry of telling and has to engage in the ministry of showing us what we look like to Him. And so God does this. And Hosea obeys and goes and marries this woman of whoredom. And they have these children together. And guess what? Gomer missed her old life. And Gomer returns to her lovers and her life of promiscuity. And Hosea, I am sure, was thinking, thank God it's over. I do not have to live with that woman any longer. Whew! Relief. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I am free at last. And after she had been back at Mandilo for a few months and had been with several lovers, God whispered to Hosea, Hosea, I want you to go and find Gomer again and bring her back to be your wife again. I'm sure Hosea is thinking, you have got to be kidding. And God says to him, that sentiment, you have got to be kidding, is exactly how I feel when I consider bringing Israel back from their sins. But that's what I am prepared to go through. And I need them to see that in your marriage. I need to show them this. I need to show them what it's going to take for me to have them back. Because some people will wander off into sin and they think that coming back to God is easy for God. That God will just say, hey, where you been? Where you been, girl? Have a seat. Let's have some tea. I want you to show them that bringing them back to myself from the sins they have wandered off into is as painful for me as it will be for you to go on that prostitution street and get your wife back. I need them to see that. Because sometimes we don't see until God Himself shows us what we look like. And I'm just wondering if it is possible this morning that in your life you have reached a season in an area of your life where God is showing you what you are like, because it is no longer enough for Him to just tell you. Because you see, the children of Israel, they had priests, they had prophets, they had scripture. It is possible to be reading your Bible every day and for it to make no difference. Because your heart has become so hardened that God telling you, even through His word, is no longer enough. He now has to show you what you look like. He now has to show you what it feels like for Him to see you that way. And I'm just wondering, or maybe more than wondering, I would like to challenge you this morning to pay more attention to the things you see. Because it may very well be that at some point you see something and it evokes a certain emotional reaction in you, because God is showing you something about the way you are in an area of your life. You remember the story of David. David did not just read the Word of God. David was inspired by God to write the Word of God. David worshiped God regularly, passionately. God called him a man after God's own heart. David had prophets in his audience giving him counsel about how to rule the nation of Israel. And yet David got so far gone into sin one time that he could no longer hear God telling him what He is like in that sin. And so God had to show him. God tells the prophet Nathan, go to talk to David, but I don't want you to go and tell him about his adultery. I don't want you to go and tell him about the murder he has committed. I don't want you to go and tell him, because at this point, telling him just won't cut it. Go and show him. And so God sends Nathan, and Nathan arrives, and David sits in his chair of the king, and Nathan begins to paint a picture, begins to show him this movie. And he says, David, you are not going to believe this story I have for you. A man who had dozens of sheep had a guest in his house, and instead of killing one of his own sheep to cook lamb chops for this guest, he leaves his own dozens of sheep alone and he goes next door to his poor neighbor and steals his one ewe lamb, the only one the poor man had. And he takes that and chops it and kills it and cooks it and serves it to his guests. And now the poor man is left with nothing. What do you make of that? And David, as he listened to this story, as he saw this portrait, at no point in the storytelling did David even know that the story was about him taking another man's wife, as he had done, sending her husband to battle to die on the front lines. At no point did he make the connection. All he could see was how horrible this man was who had done this thing. So as a king, a righteous king, a king who does justice, he begins to feel his blood begin to boil. And you know that thing when you are starting to get really upset, that thing you feel in your throat when you swallow, and it hurts when you swallow? David begins to feel that thing about this man who has stolen another man's sheep. And he gets up from his throne and he said, if this has happened in my kingdom, that man will pay. He will die, his children will die. I will see to it. I would not countenance this to happen in my kingdom. Never, never, never. And his eyes are popping out of his sockets. And Nathan shakes his head and says, now you see. Because what you see in that man is exactly what God sees when he looks at you in this mess. You, David, are the man that has done this in your kingdom. Because you can get so far gone into sin that your heart becomes so hard, and God has to show you. God has to show you. And so I would like to give you some examples of things you might see. And when you see things like this, an emotional reaction happens in your heart, consider whether God is showing you something about an area of your life that looks that way to him. When you saw or heard about the man who cheated on his wife, could it be that God was showing you that your own heart is not singularly and unreservedly devoted to him? Or when you were broke and in debt, could it be that God was showing you that your own heart is running on empty? Or when you went to prison or heard that someone you know was in jail, could it be that God was showing you that your own heart is not free? Or when you read that someone drowned in a pool or the lake, could it be that God was showing you that your own lifestyle is choking God's life in you? Or when you heard that a train went off the rails and plunged into a river, could it be that God was showing you that your own heart has gone off the guardrails? Or when you saw a building collapse, is it possible that God was showing you that your own heart's foundation is something unsustainable, something other than him? Or when you heard that the people in your village or some other village lost their crops due to lack of rain or the drought, could it be that God was showing you that your own heart is a parched land? Or when someone you love was heartbroken or broke your heart, could it be that God was showing you that your own heart's selfishness breaks his heart like that? Or when you watched a talented athlete miss a crucial penalty and waste an open chance to win big for his country or team, could it be that God was showing you that your own heart is squandering the free grace of God? Or when you saw a player celebrating a win before adoring fans and you liked it, could it be that God was showing you that your own heart values the world's praise more than God's? I believe that one of the takeaways for us from the book of Hosea is that there are times in our lives and areas of our lives where God has to show us. And God may be showing us all the time, and we not paying attention. Let us pray. Father of light, we thank you that you shine a light on our lives and show us the way we are. And this morning, I thank you that in the ministry of Hosea, you showed not only what your people had become, but you also showed them that you had the power to bring them back to yourself, back to the light, back to the life. There is no grave of sin so deep that you cannot raise us out of it. And on this resurrection day, we are reminded of that. We remember that you are a God who raises dead things to life. Because you yourself have come, have died for us, and have risen to pursue us forever. And that walking with you is walking out of the dead places of our lives into life. Because even though it breaks your heart to see us stuck in the things that belong to the dead, the deadness of life we were living, you have the power to raise us to life, to breathe new life into our hardened hearts, and to bring us joy, peace, to bring us faithfulness, to bring us love, to bring us patience where we need it, wisdom and obedience for free. And so this morning, we acknowledge you and we ask you to continue to show us the way things really are. Because even when we have squandered the mercy of being told, your mercy remains because you continue to show us. Show us yourself, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.